Hello and welcome to the Majlis Central Asia podcast at Radio Free Europe Due Liberty. I'm Mohammed Tahir, your host here in Washington, D.C. Political turmoil is a family matter in Kyrgyzstan, but the ongoing scandal surrounding the detention of the opposition leader Tokayev, though, seems a serious turn in the events. With 3 decades of political career, Tokayev is no ordinary opposition member. This is not the ordinary time in Kyrgyzstan either. On the top of that, allegations are also serious in both ends, and the deadlock is stiff. And all this scandal is playing out at a time when the country just has had a controversial referendum on constitutional amendments and now is heading to a critical presidential election. So a lot is at stake. On today's Majlis, we will try to unpack ongoing developments in the light of recent constitutional referendum and the upcoming presidential elections. To discuss all this, I have Medet Toliganov, who is the chair and assistant professor of the international and comparative politics at the American University in Central Asia, who is joining us from Bishkek today. Medet, welcome to the Majlis.
Thank you.
Very nice to have you. Also joining us from Bishkek is Rizkel Disatka, who is the Kyrgyz researcher and journalist affiliated with numerous publications, including Al Jazeera. Rizkel, welcome to the Majlis.
Thanks for having me.
Very nice to have you. And Bruce Panier, editor of Kishlok Awozi, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Central Asia blog, is joining us from Prague. Bruce, welcome to the Majlis.
Thank you.
Very nice to have you. Okay, with this, let's get into it. Before that, let me recite my usual reminder that please feel free to amplify, expand, or disagree directly with points other guests are making. Please don't wait for me to prompt your questions so that we have a lively debate today. Okay, with this, Rizkeldi, why was Tokayev arrested?
It's a very controversial subject here. Apparently, it is related to the accusations that are in the middle of the arrest and ongoing. Obviously, it's a political fight between the Atomic End faction and the president's circle, including president himself. So there were a number of accusations since last year. And as you said, the referendum was one of those issues where Atomic Camp faction was disagreeing with the president's version.
Right.
And then, obviously, since then, this political rivalry escalated into all-out full accusations, war, if I can say. And then the culmination of it was the arrest of Tokayev last week on Sunday. Huh. There are very, very harsh allegations against the president. We're seeing all this, they call it a compromat file.
Yeah.
They came up with accusations that the president was involved in, and his family had the ownership of the payload that was on the crashed plane in January. And one of those accusations also is related to President Atambayev's business abroad. So Tokayev, obviously, he traveled to Cyprus.
Yeah.
That's the information that we have lately. And then he attended the session in Austria last week. And on his flight back in Bishkek on Sunday, he was arrested right off the plane and imprisoned since then, detained and arrested. But the question is, he was planning to be in the parliament next day, Monday. And then he was planning to have a press conference. And why these measures were taken against him, these are the questions that are still many are wondering why this is happening right now. And I think the question is still open.
Yeah.
We don't know yet.
The document his lawyer, the Tokayev's lawyer, presented as an alleged proof of Atambayev's connection to the deadly crash of a Turkish cargo plane, which Rizkeldi mentioned, is not really, really convincing. What was presented is an alleged leaked report by the Turkish Secret Service involving the crash. The content aside, to say the minimum, there are numerous grammatical issues on the letter. So I don't really know who is trying to do what here. Does he has anything other any other evidence to connect Atambayev's connection to the plane crash, or the letter is the only thing that he's putting forward?
So of course, this situation with letter was quite strange in terms, as you mentioned, validity of the content. And of course, the Turkish side has started already to claim that it's not an official and it didn't happen, in fact, what was presented in the letter. But the main maybe argument at the moment related to this whole cargo issue was quite often pressed, maybe from a point of view that if there is nothing to be worried about in terms of who owns the cargo, then so someone can, from the presidential side, could have presented the evidence about the factual ownership of that what was in that plane. But in terms of the factual evidence, I think that's an issue which has been from the both sides, as Sriska already mentioned, that the same kind of an issue was from the side of the president few months ago, which was locally titled as a Belize gate, in terms of showing some papers from Belize claiming that something as an offshore company belongs to Atambayev. So the same kind of story now repeats, but on the other side, from the side of opposition.
Bruce, was Atambayev really up to something which put him in trouble this time?
Well, like Riskeldi said, him and Atambayev and Atambayev have been going back and forth about this for half a year now. One has accusations that he puts out, and then the other one counters with accusations of their own, against the first party. So it's hard to say, under the theory that everyone's dirty in Central Asia, all the politicians, and there's probably something you could find on practically anybody out there. I suppose, there's something there, but really, this has just developed into a feud between Atambayev and Atambayev over the last, half a year or something, where Atambayev will say, we have to investigate how Atambayev got this property on the outskirts of Bishkek that used to belong to Bakiyev, and then Atambayev will come back with, what about this? What are they calling it? Belize Gate or something? Isn't it true that Atambayev has stuff offshore somewhere that needs to be looked into? And so, like I said, this has been, for months now, this has been just going back and forth. As soon as one charge seems to drop, where everything gets cleared up to the more or less the satisfaction of one party or the other, and the public stops taking interest, then something new comes up. It's just been going on and on.
It's not, only Atambayev's version of the story, but there are lots of unanswered questions about the position authorities taking against him. I'm kind of pushing this to the second half of the debate. So to continue with Atambayev, Medet, so he will remain in custody initially for 2 months. Is it legal?
Yes, seemingly there is nothing illegal in terms of detaining it. Of course, yesterday was quite a long discussion between MPs and the head of this GKNB, the local version of KGB, and the general prosecutor, on which grounds generally he was arrested and put in custody. And of course, the accusation side, they were referring to one of the clauses in the criminal procedure code, which was saying that if there suffered side, which was this Mr. Mayevsky, who allegedly gave this 1 million in order to take over this cell operating company, that he was directly pointing to Atambayev, and that he was a suffered side, then that gives sufficient ground to put Atambayev into custody.
But the story that you are telling us that goes back to his days in the office, and that's 6 years old, isn't it?
Yeah.
So why it's surfacing now?
Yeah, that's the question many people are asking. So why this person comes out almost 7 years after all these events? Then seemingly one of the possible stories behind it is that, well, these were like a trump cards which were held until this moment and then now used. Of course, you initially asked the question why now and why to take so hard on Atambayev. That's, I think, some of the part of the story comes with this pre-electoral period, when with limited number of months left, with Atambayev having some formal powers, including powers over law enforcement agencies to deal with some unresolved issues, and one of them is for half a year running up with opposition. But the question, of course, it still remains a mystery in terms of why somehow that video emerged by Mayevsky giving some story to some Russian media, and then it was used as a pretext by law enforcement agencies to take on Atambayev.
Interesting. Riskildi, so what the authorities doing now? I mean, since Tekebayev is in the custody from last few days, so what's happening? What the authorities are doing now about him?
Well, as you know, yesterday there was a session in the parliament, extremely tense session, and where the head of the spy agency and general prosecutor were in the parliament and answering questions, and they were trying to convince the members of parliament that the measures that were taken against Tekebayev were correct and according to the laws. But the problem was that to my impression was that I was watching it and it didn't seem that they were convincing enough, because one faction, which is Atomic Camp faction, was attacking them and asking procedural questions, and they couldn't answer those questions, obviously. And in some cases, there were contradictions to the case, especially on dates and on questions as with regards to the claimant. His name is a Russian citizen, the investor, the one who claimed that he gave $1 million to Tekebayev. And there were also other questions as with respect to the cash. I mean, they were wondering how this amount of $1 million was taken into the country. And there were lots of legitimate questions with regards to the investor, too, about his legitimate claims or not legitimate. So, like I said, the officials couldn't address these questions to convince others. And then what happened was it ended up with one of the MPs proposing to create a commission specifically on Tekebayev case, but the parliament voted no, and then what happened was they included Tekebayev's case into the previous commission that was investigating the previous cases against the Atomic Hand faction MPs, which are, there are two cases existing. So it's all getting back to the political nature of the criminal investigations that are going on at the moment. And obviously, since the crisis erupted, there's lots of attention on what's going to happen with the protests. As you know, there have been protests in the south, not as massive as many thought. And there has been one Monday where 1,000 plus were protesting. Since then, it is a little quiet, but everyone is expecting further developments, because many are seeing that whether one way or the other, this crisis may escalate into something very serious. But no one knows for sure.
Interesting. Bruce, Kyrgyzstan's reaction to such arrest is usually not quiet. How to interpret this lack of enthusiasm this time, what Rizkaldi was mentioning, that there were only a few thousand people so far gathered in the south, where Tekebayev, I think, inherits his his influence?
Well, and then there was some in Bishkek, too, of course. Generally speaking, Kyrgyz, almost any of their protests or demonstrations or actions start out kind of slow. There's rarely, in 25 years, there's rarely been an event that brought people out into the street within 24 hours. So it's not entirely surprising. I think, for one thing, it took people there a little bit, by surprise that this happened, because of course Tekebayev was arrested in the early hours of the morning on a Sunday, so there was that to consider too, where the people wouldn't have heard the news until well into Sunday, or maybe even by Monday. At least my understanding as of this morning was that they called these demonstrations off because they're waiting for the trial next week, the court session, to find out what they're going to do. But it's not hugely surprising. And we also got to remember that it's hard to gauge Atamakin's popularity in the country at the moment. They have been in parliament the last two times, but it's also true that they took the least amount of seats in parliament the last two times. The power base is in the south. That's where Tekebayev is from. There's no doubt about it. It was clear that the authorities knew that there might be a problem down there, because they did try to block the road down in his district in Jalalabad, but there was a sizable show of police down there at that moment so that they could keep the road open. But again, with Kyrgyzstan and demonstrations and protests, it's not so much the first you know, the first 24 hours or 48 hours after an event happens, often anyway, it has happened where they've brought people out, but generally speaking, these things kind of build on themselves. It starts out a little bit slow, and then it keeps picking up, and they add new issues to it, and it becomes something that gets beyond, or at least is much more major and problematic for the authorities.
Okay, let's see how it goes. Thanks. So what happened, so happened, but why it happened, what does the timing tell us, and who benefits from his detention are the questions needing a serious answer. After all, is it really about these allegations, or there is something deeper behind this scandal? If so, where are we heading with this? So we will continue the debate discussing these and many other questions shortly. Hey everyone, before we get into the second part of the show, just a quick reminder that if you really like Mejlis podcast, there's a real chance that you will also like my other radio show that's called Gandhara Podcast. The show discusses latest developments in Pakistan and Afghanistan from local perspective. And the podcast is published in every second week on Radio Free Europe Radio Liberty's Gandhara website. It's a totally must-follow discussion for foreign policy nerds with interest in the region. First, let me recap the discussion that today on the Mejlis Radio Free Europe Radio Liberty Central Asia podcast, we are sharing notes on recent detention of prominent Kyrgyz opposition leader Omurbek Tekebayev and its possible implications to the country. Joining me in the discussion are Medet Tolyuganov, chair and assistant professor of international and comparative politics at the American University in Central Asia. Journalist and commentator Rizkildi Satka is joining us, who is affiliated with many organizations, including Al Jazeera, and Bruce Panier, editor of Kishlak Owozi, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Central Asia blog, is joining us from Prague. I'm Mohammed Tahir, host of the Mejlis here in Washington, D.C. Welcome back, gentlemen, to the Mejlis. So is this fight really about the ongoing allegations, or there are things beyond that? First, let's take, Medet, your thinking on that, and we will move on with other panelists.
Of course, all these allegations and what was initially called in our conversations is war of compromise. So it just was a form of a bit wider and maybe deeper struggle, which, as was mentioned, happened on the wake of the upcoming constitutional changes, which were announced in the mid of summer of last year. And that was cleavage, basically, which brought on different sides. Atambayev and the other members of the interim governments headed by Tekebayev. And partially, I think it was maybe can be viewed as a second wave of struggle by Atambayev to consolidate his power, because he was in the first part of his presidency was fighting against what he was quite often titling as a revanchist or the Kyiv supporters, and namely was tackling in the parliament specifically Atatürk party, and was basically using the same tactic, using law enforcement agency which he controls as a president to open up various criminal cases, because Atatürk party was the biggest party in terms of proportion of MPs which were arrested, or at least criminal cases were opened against them. And now Atamikhan comes as a second party by the number of MPs against whom criminal cases were opened. So it's, again, maybe the second stage of consolidation of power, but somehow it maybe coincides, as I already mentioned, with this electoral cycle of ending of his presidential term and then preparing for the transition, which is also a bit fuzzy in terms of understanding how it happens, especially just yesterday's talks of Atambayev in press conference with Vladimir Putin, where Atambayev mostly was talking not about bilateral issues between Kyrgyzstan and Russia, but about the internal politics of Kyrgyzstan and referring to these ongoing issues we're discussing now, and including also some allegations or maybe relation to the possibility of this transition. Of course, he reiterated again that he will step down from presidency, but somehow whether or not or what will do he after what he will do afterwards still remains a bit unclear. And whatever happens now with Atamikhan and can be viewed as maybe some part of this whole process of transition to something new, which Atambayev and his close maybe allies in his inner circles they somehow envisioned, because he was quite often stating that he will take with him out of politics some old politicians, especially he was saying envious politicians, especially when the scandal on war of compromise started, and obviously noting and pointing to Tekebayev. And that's, I think, part of this context, which may explain why it's happening now.
Mm-hmm. My Kyrgyz is not perfect, but today I was reading a news which was published by our Kyrgyz service, and this is about what you just hinted. Atambayev is going to step down what he said in the past, but somehow he wants to remain in politics after his term in the office ends. Can you expand on this, what he was really trying to say?
Well, you see, whenever President Atambayev says something, it's quite often there are two contradicting aspects. One, something personal and human, in which quite often outperforms functional presidential, what he may think of. So, and in this regard, maybe we should take a certain caution interpreting what he says. And if talking specifically about what we don't have, unfortunately, a lot of experience as what ex-presidents may do. We have only one ex-president, which shows some example what people can do after stepping down from this post. But, well, he mentioned yesterday, yes, he will remain in politics. Huh. But what it means still, as I mentioned, remains unclear and fuzzy. Because practically speaking, there are not so many options. He may not run again for presidency. He may become, as was quite often speculated in the past as well, become a prime minister, which he at least didn't deny, or at least didn't mention as something he would refute in yesterday's press conference. Or another option, probably it will create some outrage if that scenario will be pursued. But what other options are remaining? If you are not in some important functional position, not a president, not a prime minister. And then what maybe remains, I don't know whether it's some plans, or at least if there are plans, whether it's feasible plans, is to mastermind a scheme through which you can, staying behind the scene, you can control major important institutions and actors. But again, it comes quite often to the possibility and feasibility to control most of the factions in the parliament and to control someone who becomes an MP, at least for foreseeable future. And but then how to do that, that's an issue. Okay. Because at least it requires your control of two major factions. One, of course, his own social democratic faction, the largest faction in the parliament. And maybe the second one, which is Respublika. And then it often puts the ball on the side of some other actors, like current presidential candidates, like Babanov, let's say. If some possibility for Atambayev to remain in politics planned and maybe foreseen as feasible, then quite often a question is that who are allies beyond the immediate circle of presidential surrounding with whom some arrangement could be made in order to make this plan possible. But that's still a big and clear question.
Let me bring Reskeldy you on this. In the light of what Atambayev was trying to say yesterday in terms of, you know, his ambition to remain in politics after his term in the office ends, how we can connect this Tekabayev's detention story with his comments that he made yesterday or his potential political ambitions in the future? Is there any connection?
Well, I think the guest met it. He just said it. There are possible options there. What I can add is that Tekebayev was planning to run for the office, which I'm not sure if that's the case, because he's not, I don't think he's such a heavyweight in this country at this point. And I'm not sure that he has chances to become a president of the contenders, I guess. But at the same time, I just want to bring up a separate point here. As I was speaking with the human rights defenders and a couple of analysts here in Bishkek since Monday discussing political crisis. And what's interesting is that Rosa Otumbayeva, she came out and she slammed the government and the president, the move against Tekebayev and the political repression campaign. And what's striking about her statement is that I was speaking with one of the top rights defenders in this country, and she was telling me that she was concerned with the signs that were present in 2010 with the campaign of arrests and detentions. And she said she saw similar pattern with the latest development over Tekebayev. Comes the next question, as Bruce just said it before, that typically in Kyrgyzstan it starts off slow, then it becomes an avalanche. So this is the kind of for us the moment, because I think, you know, Tekebayev's arrest is, I don't think it's much of a bigger of issue at this point, but there are remaining issues are still there, like social issues and economic issues, and including security apparatus that was waging repression against the activists and journalists, and including one of those cases is the trial of Azimjan Askarov, which was a complete, it was a farce, basically. And all these issues are coming up, and some suggest that Tekebayev's arrest could be a trigger to the political development where, or scenario, if you will, where all this could trigger a bigger political crisis and escalate into violence. So this is the major point here, and I think economic issues shouldn't be underestimated here, because as we know, protests in southeastern province of Narin have been going on there for quite a while over electricity rates, and the winter was harsh this year, and many were complaining that electricity is too expensive for them and they cannot afford it. So there goes one issue, and then there's another one is poverty. When I travel outside the capital in the south and in the east to the east, all I see is that shocking poverty all across the country. And I think this is one of those moments where we should be thinking about how this will reflect on the political developments this year and from now to November, because I think there's a real chance that a political crisis could escalate into something bigger, which we don't know. And then what Otumbayeva said was that she was convinced that some political forces are trying to destabilize. One wonders what she meant by forces, what kind of forces she was talking about. So I think this is the point that will come up more and more in coming weeks.
Bruce, of course, we also have to end our discussion. So before that, I have two points here to be discussed yet. So who benefits from Tekebayev's detention and why this is happening now? What the timing tell us?
Well, I suppose you could say short term, Atambayev and possibly by extension the Social Democratic Party, which he used to be ahead of, benefits a little bit because they do kind of keep Tekebayev a little bit quiet. I mean, he's certainly been very vocal about what and about allegations of what Atambayev might or might not have done, or how he might or might not have got money and things like that. So temporarily it does kind of keep him from going out and getting in front of the microphone and making accusations about Atambayev. You know, longer term, of course, obviously, this is not good. Everyone here has mentioned the elections that are coming up this year, and this is going to be a problem. You don't want to put any extra issues out there coming into the election season. You know, Rysskelde named some of the problems that Kyrgyzstan has. You know, they're perennials. They're always there, and they can always be added to any new problem that comes along. The Kumtor mines, which Rysskelde knows more about than I do, that's another one where, is Kyrgyzstan getting its fair share of that, and they can throw that one out there. So there's all these issues that you can always bring up if you're an opponent of the government and say that the government's not doing their job. So really what you don't want is something new and fresh that you can throw out there in the public and then start throwing all these older problems out there on top of it, because that's when you end up with these protests. If I could just mention, though, one thing, about Atambayev and the decision that there are these comments that maybe he'll stay in politics. I think after what's happened the last few months, he's really got to consider that maybe he can't retire. There was a time a year ago where he said he just wanted to be a writer or play music and, hang out at his new residence that they're building and stuff like that. But with all this recent back and forth between him and Tekebayev, and not just Tekebayev, but other members of the people who were allies right after they chased Bakiyev from power, he's got to wonder how safe he is if he's not in power, and the Social Democratic Party does not have a strong candidate for the presidency at the moment. So he might I'll suddenly understand that he does not have any solid guarantees that if he leaves office, no one's going to bother him anymore. And in fact, people have already, like Tekebayev, have already started to accuse him of having various illegal dealings in one way or another. So it's got to be a wake-up call for him. It's probably this Tekebayev incident is just going to speed up the rather active and energetic campaigning process that we already expected was going to happen for this presidential election.
Interesting. Medet, feel free to add anything you want to add what has been said so far by Bruce and Rizkeldi, especially in terms of timing. But my question is, did Tekebayev, as one of you mentioned, is the third Atamekan member who was detained for questioning in recent days. So it is not only Tekebayev with whom authorities are having some sort of problem. And Atambayev, you know, wants to play cool, saying that these are pure corruption cases. Is it really? Why does Tekebayev's party's target?
All these three cases against Atamekan faction members, they just happened within the last 2.5 months.
Yeah.
So basically, it was a campaign, in fact. Hmm. And that started, as we said already some number of times, just on the backdrop of this ongoing confrontation over the constitutional referendum, and et cetera, et cetera. And yeah, that's, I think, somehow what we can talk about is tackling and pressing this Atamekan faction. And as I mentioned, that was, of course, just a selective approach, as it was some time ago with another party, just as a fact that, well, as far as I remember, there were quite a number of cases against the MPs, but there were almost no case against the member of the SDPK party on the corruption issue, except just one recent one, but it was a bit strange case. So again, it shows about the selectivity of the approach of using corruption as a repressive mechanism against the MPs.
I'm reaching to the final point of our discussion here. So this confrontation is taking place just ahead of a very critical presidential elections and just ahead of Atambayev stepping aside as a president. So where this is leading the country going forward?
Just maybe one note that some of people already mentioned, and Bruce mentioned that possibly leads to kind of a security dilemma situation, that in order to safeguard yourself after stepping down from a presidential position, you have to repress your opponents, which also increases the risks that you'll be, again, tackled, or maybe you'll be somehow criticized after you're stepping down from a presidential election, which again, in turn, maybe leads you to repress more and more. That's maybe one of the dangers of the current situation. How many more opponents, maybe wider or maybe deeper, Atambayev may try to press in the upcoming months in order to think what will make him more safe and secure and live a bit more stable life after the November presidential elections. And that's one of the dangerous scenarios.
Yeah, interesting. So final points, Rizkeldi and Bruce, where all this crisis or the confrontation is leading the country to?
Till November, I think many will be wondering where this is going. One thing is that I think we're seeing that Russians are interested, they're still interested in preserving the status quo in this country in terms of having a loyal figure. We saw that by a couple of weeks ago, SDPK faction nominated the current head of the Russian Kyrgyz Development Fund. He's a former mayor of the Bishkek city. So he doesn't mean that he'll be running for office, but that's one of those moves that is indicating that there's a possibility that the election could go either way. It all depends on what happens from now in November. At the same time, I think there are many questions whether this corruption campaign is going anywhere, because we have Atamekan throwing bombs at Atambayev, and then Atambayev campaigning and repressing his opponents at this point. So the only question is, what is going on in the parliament? And the parliament, as I watched it, and I saw interesting pattern in the parliament there. SDPK was joining the campaign against the Atamekan. At least some figures were agreeing with the president's policy. And SDPK speaker of parliament, he's an SDPK member. So he was, it was seemed that he was favoring the government too. And at the same time, there were factions that were literally not taking any sides. So then the question comes, what is the political configuration in the country? So, and I think we'll see in the coming months over what and how, and at this point, it's soon to say if there is any probability of the major unrest. But we'll see what happens, because Atambayev is leaving the office with a very heavy crisis in the economy. Migration is still an issue. We have thousands and hundreds of thousands of Kyrgyz migrants outside the country. And then we have unemployment, and then we have, as I said, poverty, which is, I believe it is over 30%, could be up to 40. And then we have the major issue with corruption. UN Development Program estimated at some $700 million annually. That's the damage from corruption, and I think the figure is bigger. And then Radio Liberty, the Kyrgyz language, came up with a report last month over customs office in this country about corruption, which was highlighted. So all these issues are coming up, I think, as a major point. And then whether Atambayev will be able to convince that he is still good in politics, I don't know. It's these are the questions that have to be seen, whether there will be answer or no. So we'll see it in the coming months.
Okay. Bruce, final point from you.
Tekibayev probably did not have a real good shot, or Artem Mikhanin, getting one of their guys in, or, you know, Tekibayev maybe personally, or someone from that party as the president of the country. But I think, you know, even if Atambayev is able to keep this business quiet, or put it behind him with Artem Mikhanin, the public's already been energized a little bit with this thing. Atambayev is going to have to be extremely careful in the next few months how he approaches other parties or other major political figures in the country, because if he appears to be going after any potential enemies, it's going to backfire on him without a doubt. So fine, he's managed to quiet down Tekibayev for the moment, at least. But he has opponents out there, and with the presidential election coming up, we can expect that other parties are also going to start to criticize him, and he's going to have to be real careful how he responds to that, because if the public starts to get the idea that he's out to get anybody who's trying to oppose him or keep his STPK out of power, it's going to be trouble.
Okay. Thank you very much, Bruce Paniev, editor of Kishlog Ovozi, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Central Asia blog. Also, big thanks goes to Medet Toliganov, chair and assistant professor of international and comparative politics at the American University in Central Asia, Rizkeldi Satka, the Kyrgyz researcher and journalist. Thank you, gentlemen, very much for your time and thoughts today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is from me, Mohammed Tahir, host of the Majlis, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Central Asia podcast. Until next week, bye-bye.